Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Egan and I am the Assistant Director for Commissioning and Performance, and some of my lead areas for Birmingham are troubled families, social investment and developing the concepts of outcome-based commissioning. And I'm going to be touching on all of those things, but let's just look at the title of this conference before we do. Troubled Families and Early Intervention, Tackling Troubled Families Through Early Intervention. And something that I just want to put out there for all of us is perhaps it's troubled organisations, because a lot of the things you've heard people talk about today will be some of the things that I'll talk about and some of the things you'll hear other people talk about at other conferences. And as Kim said, this is old wine in a new bottle. And we've heard it before. We know a lot of these issues. We know a lot of the solutions. But we haven't done them. We just haven't taken some of the solutions forward. And as Kim said, we spend money on things that we know don't work. We don't get our act together around pooled budgets and co-commissioning. And as Scott told us, the family he talked about, it took a worker to be intensively supporting that family for them to get their back door fixed. And so that says to me that as well as troubled families, actually we've got deeply troubled organisations. And I think that's a really interesting thing, and we need to think about some of this work in that frame alongside the frame of troubled families. So something you'll have heard before about investing in prevention, about looking at whole systems change. And my question around whole systems change is, what is going to get us to really drive that through in a way that we haven't done before? And I'm sure when Sarah Gillison speaks from the Innovation Unit this afternoon, she'll talk about the narrative that you create around the case for change. And I think this is really important. We need to think about what is our narrative that we're going to create for ourselves that will mean that we really do take this change forward, and that we can't back out or not do the things that we committed to. And some of the things I think are really interesting when you look at the current narrative around troubled families and children in care, and some of the things that we'll all have experienced happening to families, such as child deaths, are the language that we've created around those things for ourselves, a professional language that distances us from those issues, sometimes because that allows us to cope with the things people are dealing with day to day, but it's a distancing. We've got a language that really disengages us emotionally from those issues. So, for example, if you read A Serious Case Review where a child has been suffocated, it will talk about a layover. And so that's another area we need to think about. What's our narrative that is going to drive change and get us those sorts of results? So thinking about new approaches to delivery and finance, one of the new approaches to finance is payment by results. And if you think about this in terms of the Troubled Families Programme, this is how it works. So the Troubled Families Unit have got some money, and they devolve that to local authorities through a payment by results model. And part of that is for attachment, and part of that is for outcomes. And it changes as the programme progresses in terms of the volume for each of those. So in year one, it's 80% attachment, year two, 60%, year three, 40%, and then the flip of that for outcomes. So what it means is that you can draw down in year one 80% of the allocation from each family when you attach to that family. And attachment means that you have identified all of your families, and you have now got someone in place who is going to be the lead worker or the key worker or the lead advocate, whatever you're calling it in your area, but someone who is going to roll their sleeves up and work with that family. And the result bit is the key element, which is the outcome. What's the impact? What's the difference that's been made? And in year one, you'll get 20% for that outcome. And as you see, by year three, you'll get 60%. So the risk is increasing in terms of the balance of what you have to deliver. So by year three, if you don't deliver, then you're going to be 60% short on each budget that you have for each family. That's all in the context of the TFU being very clear about the fact that they're giving some additional resource. There's already resource in the system being spent on that family. So part of the challenge is how do we unlock that finance so that it is really bringing together a whole range of resources around these families. So that really raises the question of strategic investment. And one way to approach payment by results is that you basically model locally the national model that the TFU have to the local authority, i.e. I'm a commissioner, I commission someone internally or externally to do something with a troubled family, and I say I'll give you so much money for when you start the work, and I'll give you so much money if you get the outcome, and I mirror those proportions. That's one way you could apply it. Another way you could apply it is to say, okay, we've got this resource into the authority. What other types of payment by results commissions would we like to move forward with? Thinking and putting ourselves in that early intervention arena. So that's one of the things we're looking at in Birmingham, is rather than replicating the resource distribution that the TFU makes to us, we're trying to say, well, we've got this resource now, how can we use it differently to get some results? Try and look at the broader area of troubled families beyond the TFU criteria. And one of the ways we're going to do that is through having a social impact bond around children on the edge of care and children in care, which was part of the pilot work that Jim mentioned. And the way that will work is we'll use some of the troubled families' money that we're getting this year for attachment to enable us to develop that further and take it to market. And in Birmingham, we have just over 1,900 children in care, which is about 75 per 10,000, which is significantly higher than the national average, which is about 59 per 10,000. And very conveniently, we have 167 children aged 11 to 17 who have a trajectory of 170 weeks in care. So it's just convenient that those numbers mirror each other. And if we could change that, if we could change the trajectory of care for those 167 children, that would give us millions of pounds worth of savings and arguably improve outcomes for those children and families too. So that will be one of the ways that we're going to be bringing in some additional interventions within the wider troubled family scope to help us make some progress around troubled families. And we're looking at a whole range of things alongside that. So we talked about early years earlier. We've got some investment in incredible years. We had an RCT trial on it done by Dartington, which was very successful. We have the PAFS program similarly. We had an RCT on that. And really a big message to bring partners together to agree a single set of commissioning priorities for children and young people in Birmingham and to commission a set of services that deliver against those priorities and decommission what doesn't. So there's a real challenge here to stop doing the things that we know don't work and start doing the things that we know do. I think another key feature of troubled families approach is families defining their own solutions. And I don't know if you can see it on here, but we had some service design workshops with practitioners and with a whole range of people at different organisational levels. And the little semicircle, it's not a semicircle, or kind of, I don't know what it is, not quite a circle, but a shape that sort of represents a circle with a little bag of money on, that is family budget. So it's this idea, which is not new, of saying, you know, lots of workers say, what I'd really like is some resource that I can use flexibly, easily, to address some things very, very quickly for a family. And part of what we want to create a shift around is to move from perhaps doing lots of long, thin interventions to doing short, fat interventions. So what I mean by long, thin interventions is perhaps someone going there every 3 weeks, every 4 weeks, every 6 weeks. You know, you call, you manage your caseload, don't you? Say, this family, I'm going to phone them every 3 months. What is the point of that? You know, how is that going to shift anything? So we've got quite a lot of things in our system at the moment which is sort of like anxious monitoring, where we go around and we do a visit. And lots of us do that, you know, so we've got lots of replication of it. And the challenge in the system is to get enough people at the same time saying we're going to do short, fat interventions, that we'll be able to do short, fat interventions with the number of families that we're all duplicating work with and doing long, thin ones with. So some of it is a bit of a risk and a bit of a, not a leap of faith, because we're doing the data, we're doing the assessment, we're profiling the work, but it's a step out there to say, let's do something different, because hey, what we're doing isn't working. So that's part of a key part for us is creating this element where families can define their own solutions, and as part of that, families will define their own goals and then measure their distance travelled. So that will be one of the ways that we start to understand what's most effective, what's least effective. Does it make any difference if you get to define your own solutions? And also to undertake research to assess how closely have we actually delivered the work to the intention that we had. So some of my experience has been that, you know, you design it all, don't you? It's all written on the paper. You've done the process map. It's out there. But people on the ground have gone, oh, I don't really agree with that. I'm just going to do what I've always done. So there's two bits here. One is, is the concept right? Is your model right? And what's the ratio of delivery of that on the ground? So there's two bits of that for me that we need to assess. Distance travelled for the family, and how closely are we delivering the model? I'm going to just pull together here a few elements that I think if you're a commissioner or if you work with commissioners, you should be thinking about. So one of the things that we're doing is we're going through the work that we currently do, and we're saying, okay, which contracts do we want to re-specify to fit around troubled families? Not just the ones that we'll be identifying the TFU, but the wider population of troubled families. Which contracts can we, says contact variation, it should say contract, which contracts can we vary? So, for example, we have a number of contracts which are part of our sort of short breaks and respite offer for disabled children and their families, and they go in to families, they give very practical support. Now that's a really good example of a contract we can vary and say, we don't want you to just do it with this group anymore, we want you also to do it with our group of troubled families, And then we can say to staff, this is something that you can access now because we've varied the contract. Retasking the workforce. So, for example, we're going to have a very intensive training programme where we train all our frontline staff in systemic models, where we train them in a number of evidence-based interventions, and we get them to start to use things like the graded care profile to be able to quantify what is the potential of a family to improve and change. So that's a really big issue, is really focusing on that and retasking them away from long thin to short fat, and retasking them to really get their sleeves rolled up and get in there with these families. And I know there's been discussion about sanctions strategies, and we will be having sanctions in Birmingham, and we already have sanctions, all of us. We have a huge sanction that we use in the public sector. We don't think about it as a sanction, but we take children into care. That's a sanction. You know, that's a huge sanction. And what I want to do is think about what are the other sanctions that we can use before we have to get to using that one. Because I think people would rather have some of the other ones, and they would be also more cost effective, and they would give us better outcomes for children. Because children in care, we all know, do not have the same outcomes as children who are not in care. So that's a real key thing for us to think about, you know. What are the earlier sanctions that we can use? And we can work across the system with housing, etc., the police, to do that. And what are the things that actually staff tell us? I've been working with this family, you know, for a year now. I've known the family for 10 years. You know, they've been in this area, and there's lots of intergenerational issues. You'll all be familiar with those stories. And I've heard staff say numerous times, what I'd really like to have been able to offer is this, and I haven't. So part of our challenge is to make those things available, and then to align the resources that we have around this issue. And that links back to the single set of commissioning priorities that I talked about. So we've all got a version of this triangle, haven't we? We're all trying to get money from the small part up to the large part. We're trying to do it too. And we're trying to think about parental capacity in relation to this triangle. So, you know, if parents and carers are meeting needs and they're up in universal end, there might be a bit of preventative work that you do to keep that happening. And right down the bottom, you know, this is a situation where parents and carers have failed to meet a child's needs. And I think there are some situations where the assessments are clear. We've done the assessments. We know that the family situation means that for maybe the toddlers in that family, their needs can't be met, and they're not going to be met. And when we know that, we should be taking quicker action and then being quicker to move children to permanency to get their best outcomes. So there's some policy questions that we need to also be discussing and thinking about. We've made a very recent policy decision in Birmingham around non-engagement. So you'll have all seen a piece of evaluation work, or perhaps on a case record, non-engagement of the family. What? What does that mean? You know, we can't have that approach that we say, we've tried to engage this family, we've been round, we sent a letter, we rang up, they didn't engage with us, so now they've gone on this pile. No. So that's our change in Birmingham. We have a policy that says non-engagement does not exist. We will not accept it on any case record, on any file, because we will engage that family, whether they want to or not. We will keep going, we will be persistent, we will use the evidence about what's worked, we will use everything that we have at our disposal, and we will engage the families. We won't just put them on the non-engagement pile. And I would really like to see that as a national policy decision. So these are a couple of minutes. These are our next steps. I've talked a bit about how you can think about translating the TFU payment by results model. And I talked a little bit about how we're doing that locally. And we're working with partners to think about that. And we're busy aligning our local spend as match funding. We've had really fantastic engagement from the police and from Job Centre Plus and all of our partners around the Worklessness Agenda. We've had good engagement with housing, but that's an area I think we need to do more work on. And we've managed to use some of the work around the carers strategy, which, you know, is a big agenda at the moment, to get adult and communities to commit to undertaking family assessments that include the children when they go and assess adults. So that's a really important step as well. And one thing that's really important for all of us, I think, is that we create some tension and conflict and disruption and discomfort in the system. And there are all sorts of ways we can do that. And one way is that you focus on a system change. You don't set up another pilot program. You don't recruit, you know, 20 troubled families workers. You know, this has to be how we work. So that's something that I think is really, really vital, that we create that tension and that push. And I think we really need to set out our case for change. Why should we bother changing? Why don't we just carry on? And we have to do it in a way that's more compelling than we've done it in the past. So I'll leave you with that thought, and thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from policyreview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.